Before I get started this morning, I'm going to pause or have a couple of comments to the side as I go through the sermon because we have started confirmation class, and the confirmation students, this is the first Sunday they are taking sermon notes. So I'm going to try to make that a little bit easier for them as we go. If you've been through confirmation, can I get a little amen from you? Yeah. Sermon notes, double amen, yeah. I told them, you're not going to like this the first time, but it gets a little easier and better a couple times in. And I think for the most part, the students by the end appreciated learning how to do that. So, the sermon is called Hungry for What is Right. We're focusing in on Matthew 5, verse 6. I have been, for about the last 12 weeks, really focusing on my health. Been exercising quite a bit more, 4 or 5 times a week, and I've been focused on what I've been eating. And this is not just a story, I made it for the sermon, I'm actually doing this. And one of the things that comes with exercising a lot more is it actually makes me more hungry, but in order to keep track of and manage the calories I have any given day, basically, I have to choose wisely what I eat. If I eat a whole bunch of ice cream, it's going to taste really awesome, but it's empty calories. I will still be hungry by the end of that. I need things like protein and complex carbohydrates to, as my mom would say, stick to my ribs, make me feel satisfied that I've eaten something that isn't just empty or clouds for the stomach. That's an illustration of what spiritually I think Jesus is talking about today. He's going to use that same imagery of being hungry and being thirsty, and he's going to talk about what is truly satisfying, what spiritually sticks to our ribs and satisfies that hunger and that thirst within us. So, not talking about food, that's a metaphor, but we're going to use it to understand a little something about one of these ways that God has blessed us. So just to remind you, we are about halfway through a number of weeks looking at these blessings in Matthew 5. We're doing one verse each week to look at a different blessing. And I also want to remind you of the context. Jesus is on the mountainside with his followers. That means that follow Jesus or are interested in what he's teaching, it's like we get to gather there too, and his teaching is for us. But right down at the foot of the mountain are the crowds that had followed Jesus around to see what he was going to do. Would he do another miracle? Would he say something wise? Maybe it's just, what's all the fuss about? And Jesus had just for a little time here withdrawn from those crowds, but they're still within view. And what we've talked about each week is that this teaching on blessing, the whole foundation of that idea of blessing that goes back into the Hebrew scriptures, back to Abraham and the great covenant with Abraham, is that God blesses those who follow him and uses them to then bless the world around us. So what a great physical, literal depiction of this. Jesus is teaching his followers with the crowd as the background, saying, disciples, you folks, God's blessed you in this way. Now you see the crowd down there, go share it. And so that's going to be a model for us. We're going to talk here in worship about how God has blessed us, but at the end each week, send you out into the world to look for opportunities to bless your neighbors, coworkers, friends, people you might walk by in the street, anything. So for the confirmation students and for y'all too, there's two main points this morning. I know when I start like saying a bunch of stuff, the first sermon notes, they just tend to write down everything. There's two main points, and it's the two halves of this verse. So Jesus says, blessed are the hungry. First point is, we're going to talk about what hungry means, spiritually hungry. And then he says, for they will be satisfied. The second big point is, what does it mean to be spiritually satisfied? So we're going to start with hungry. Hungry for what? Jesus actually uses imagery of food and water a lot in his interactions with people. So there was that scene where he was at the well with the Samaritan woman who had been married multiple times, and she came out in the middle of the day to kind of not run into anyone, and he had this conversation with her. And in the course of that, as she came to get water out of the well, He said to her, I have water that is living, and if you had that, you would never have to come to the well for water again. And that piqued her interest, and she said, tell me more about this. And it led them into a conversation about all kinds of things, worship and Samaritans and Jews and her life. But she ended up going back to town and bringing the whole town out to see him. Talk about blessed to be a blessing. And so he was talking to her about living water, and he revealed to her that he was talking about himself. It's like, you are literally thirsty, he said, and you seem to be searching for some other stuff in your life to satisfy you, but what I have for you will truly satisfy you. And he used that picture of living water to explain that. In John 6, he was talking with another crowd, and he had just done a miracle where he fed the 5,000, fed a crowd, and they started following him to see if he would do something else. And he turns to them and says, you're just following me to see another miracle, another sign. He said, but I have something even better than that for you. And he referred to himself as the bread of life. And they said, are you talking about bread from heaven, like God gave through Moses to his people? And Jesus said, even better than that. I am living bread sent from heaven for you to bless you. So he's used to using hunger and thirst and bread and water to talk about something besides just filling our stomachs with food or our bodies with water, something bigger, spiritual, a connection with God. This morning in Matthew 6, and I'm going to give you a couple of examples in Scripture now where he talks about what it is that we are hungry for. In Matthew 6, he's talking about worrying and being anxious about kind of the basic necessities. And he says God sees that, God knows that, but here's what's most important. Here's what you need to hunger for the most or be most concerned about. And he says it's seeking the kingdom of God and the same word that he used back in the Beatitude, and God's righteousness. And then what you need will be added to you. Seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. What is that? It's kind of what it sounds like. It's what is right. It's what God says is right. It's what God requires of us. And it's us not just knowing about it, but obeying it. That's how we seek God's righteousness or take part in it. We have to learn what does God say is right, and then we have to do it, obedience. And that's when Jesus says, you'll be blessed. You'll be truly satisfied. An example of that, we talked about this earlier, the end of the summer, from Micah 6:8. He has told you, God has told you what is good, what the Lord requires of you, what is right, what is righteous. It is to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly, to live humbly with God. So if you're asking yourself, how do I know what God says is right? God actually tells us, here's what God wants. Here's what is right. Jesus also, in Matthew 6:1, he distinguishes seeking God's righteousness from seeking our own righteousness, right? And so he gives this warning, beware of practicing your righteousness to be noticed by others, basically. That's not the point. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. But instead, seek first God's righteousness. Sometimes that may even be in secret. It's not so you'll look good or look super spiritual. That's not the point. And he was addressing kind of the whole Pharisaical movement was to demonstrate righteousness publicly. But his invitation is to share in what God says is right. And the blessing is you'll be truly satisfied. So that leads us to point two, for those who are taking notes in confirmation land. We're hungry for what? We're hungry, Jesus says, be hungry for what God says is right. And the blessing will be that we are truly satisfied. I have a little Hamilton quote for the fans out there. The blessing is to be truly satisfied. And here's the thing. We settle for lesser satisfactions, right? I do. Sometimes, too many times, choose the bowl of ice cream over the complex carbs and the protein. Because in the moment, it's delightful and it's awesome, but it doesn't sustain me. It doesn't give me nutritionally what I need. And we do that with all kinds of things. In fact, some of the root of sinful behaviors like gluttony or lust or even lying is us going for the lesser satisfaction rather than what God says is right. But I'll look back at our call to worship this morning from Isaiah 55. And God, through Isaiah, says, this is the route to true satisfaction, right? Come, if you're thirsty, if you're hungry, come to the waters. Even if you don't have, what you think it's going to take to get what I have, listen, it's free. I'm giving it away. Come, buy, and eat. Again, he's talking about spiritual things, right? And I will give you what you need. In the call to worship, we stop there at verse 1, but listen to verse 2, because it's this caution. God, through Isaiah, says to us, why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Well, that's because I like chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream, right? But it's not good for me. I can't live off of it. And I've tried, right? Isaiah is saying, take your desires, your resources, your heart, your spirit, and turn to God for what you long for, right? Not these temporary distractions and things that don't satisfy, but look towards God. And so Isaiah says, listen carefully to this. Eat what is good. So I want to challenge you. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Clay. The second part of that is delight yourself then in what God gives, in God's abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. So I want to challenge you with that, those words from Isaiah, to consider where you are dissatisfied in life. And what is it maybe underneath that dissatisfaction? What is it that you're really yearning for, right? Yeah, I was pondering talking about ice cream some more, but I've probably taken that about as far as it will go. I think we're all dissatisfied at points. But take that out and examine it and say, what is it that what am I dissatisfied in? What is it that would ultimately answer that yearning within me? And this, the whole point of this is not guilt or shame to say, bad on you for being unsatisfied or not trusting God fully. It's not that. It's not guilt or shame. It's an invitation. I mean, did you hear Isaiah again? All who are thirsty, come and drink. All who are hungry, come enjoy God's abundance. It's this winsome invitation. And Jesus picked up that same characteristic as he invited people to come and, you know, trust in him and follow him. So kind of the bottom line question from this is, what would it mean for you to take the thing where you may be dissatisfied, identify what the yearning is, and delight in God's abundance around that? How is it that God would satisfy you and meet your need? That's the blessing that Jesus talks about in this beatitude this morning. So I realize it's helpful to be specific. So let's go back to something I know about. So it for several years now, I've been thinking the guilt and shame route, right? Robert, you're not healthy. You've been gaining weight. Bad Robert. Do better. Diet. Exercise. I mean, it was just the guilt. And somewhere during this summer, my perspective shifted in a way that it only has once before. Now it's about 5 years ago, and I experienced the same thing where I was able to take my dissatisfaction with my health and say, what is it that I'm yearning for? I'm not yearning just to have, you know, some sort of awesome physique or anything. I'm yearning to be around for a while, you know, for my family, to be healthy, to be just to feel good and not feel pains or be at risk. Maybe partly it was COVID that triggered all this. But somewhere in there, I it's not like I just started, I found a new gear for trying harder. It's like my desire shifted to say, God, will you help me? And how can I experience what I'm yearning for? And it hasn't been a hard shift. It was an attitude shift, not a new gear of effort. Because I've certainly tried that before, and that just wears you out after a while. So I think somewhere in there, and I wish I could unpack that a little bit more for you, but somewhere in there, that seeking first after what God teaches us is right, that unlocks this blessing of being truly satisfied. It's hard to even talk about that, because, right, we're bombarded every day, advertising media of saying, buy this, you'll be satisfied once you get this, or get to this level in education or work or socially, and you'll be satisfied. And somehow Jesus just reaches past all that and says, do you want to be satisfied? Seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and you will be satisfied. I want to end with a blessing challenge and invite you today to identify how God has blessed you this day, particularly around what we've been talking about in this service, if you can. What is it that you hunger and thirst for, you yearn for, and how perhaps may you seek God first to answer that? And then the rest of this week, look for an opportunity to bless someone that you come in contact with. It can be somebody close to you or someone you don't know well at all, but just keep your eyes open. And I believe God will give us opportunities to bless others. And that's the whole dynamic of blessing, right? Is accepting the ways God has blessed us, but also sharing that freely with others. Amen.